are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's get straight into our mental health chat. We're going to be joined in just a minute by Hanley van der Westhuizen from the Vista Clinic, and she's going to be talking to us about supporting a loved one who is experiencing psychosis. So someone you love is struggling with psychosis. What now? From helpless to helpful, we are going to be guiding you through what support looks like and what it does not. And so, Hanley, good morning once again. Thank you so much for joining us again on the show.
Good morning, Bongi. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's get into this one. What are the most supportive things that a loved one can do when someone is experiencing psychosis?
Okay, there's a lot of things that are important, but first of all, we need to manage the crisis. When somebody is experiencing psychosis, there is a medical crisis that needs to be managed. And often it can help to be proactive, you know, to have some kind of a crisis plan, you know, that you have in place. I would like to advocate psychiatric advance directives. In South Africa, we don't have, the legal footing for that yet. It is still in the development. But overseas, there's a lot of effective management of psychosis through psychiatric advance directives. What this means is that it's a document where individual who is struggling with the illness specify their preferences for treatment in the case they become unable to communicate. And this really encourages respecting the person's wishes, and it can guide caregivers and healthcare providers in terms of what the patient wants when they're not in a state to communicate what their needs and their preferences are. However, this is not always it's not always a possibility. Very often a psychosis, when it first happens, you know, there's no predictability of that, and people don't have these in place. But when we manage a psychosis, it is very useful to have this in place. But we need to recognize the warning signs and be aware of things that can happen and have some kind of a crisis plan in place. It you need to have, you know, emergency contact of mental health services or doctors or trusted friends just to know where to go to when this crisis emerges. Very important here, it is important to stay calm and reassuring. You know, some simple instructions like for the person, let's sit down, can you come with me to see a doctor? Mm. It's important to seek professional help promptly when a person is actively in the psychosis. It's also very important to evaluate whether there is, emergency. If there's a possibility that the person could harm themselves or others, then again, preferably a mental health a doctor to intervene. But other emergency services can also get involved if it is that serious. Mm-hmm. Then there are obviously everyday support strategies, and that is more for the aftermath when the psychosis is being dealt with. You know, you can encourage routine and structure for the person. You can promote social engagement. You can support medical and medication adherence. You can absolutely be positive, celebrate small successes, and discuss future plans and goals mm-hmm. that are realistic and meaningful with a person. But the immediate caring thing and supportive thing to do is to manage the crisis effectively.
Okay. All right. And then how can you also encourage someone to seek help without pushing too hard? Sometimes we can be really overeager. And really, we want our loved one to get that help, but we don't want to go too hard. So how can we do that? How do we know how far or how much to push before we, pull back maybe?
Yeah, that is very important because it's such a delicate issue.
Yeah.
You know, if the person is going to feel that if you're going to feel them... make them feel pressured, it could potentially lead to resistance or distress. So, there are some gentle, effective strategies to encourage help seeking in a respectful and compassionate way. And I think, first of all, you need to build trust and offer support. Mm-hmm. It is important to establish a caring and a non-judgmental relationship. And it is important to express your concern from a place of love and understanding. It is far better to say, I care about you and I want you to feel better. And I'm here to support you where you decide, than to say you have to go to a mental health institute. It's also important to use open-ended and non-confrontational questions. How have you been feeling lately? Would you be open to talk to someone who can help you to feel more like yourself again? Mm-hmm. Those are open-ended, and the person, have the option to say no. Mm-hmm. It's also important to normalize help seeking. It's important to share stories of others who have benefited from help and emphasize that seeking help is a sign of strength. That's very important. Address the fears and the concerns gently of the person. Ask what are they scared of? What are the fears? Also offer reassurance. It's okay to be worried. Emphasize that professionals are there to help, not to judge or control them. Very often, a psychotic person is very scared of control. Mm-hmm. And it's also, link help seeking with the things that they care about, and their future goals and values. Saying something like getting some support might help you get back to doing the things that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. You can also offer to accompany them. Would you like me to go with you to the appointment? Provide the information casually. Mm-hmm. The more casual we talk about it, the more open our body language is, the more respectful and patient we are towards their autonomy. That is most probably going to foster cooperation. Mm-hmm. What not to do is don't force or threaten. They may become defensive or they may withdraw. Try to avoid labeling or criticizing their behavior. Try not to diagnose and self-diagnose. Some examples of conversation starters could be, I've noticed you seem a bit different lately and I'm concerned. Would you be willing to talk to someone about how you're feeling? This is not labeling the psychosis. It's going there into the experience that this person is most probably experiencing very difficult and very hard to deal with. You can say something like, it might help to chat with a professional who understands what you're going through. I can help you to find someone if you are interested. Open-ended, giving, being respectful for the person's autonomy.
Mm-hmm. All right. And what communication tips work during a psychotic episode?
First of all, what I need to emphasize here, before we talk about communication, we need to prioritize safety. If a person is agitated, paranoid, or threatening, prioritize safety first, your safety and theirs. If there are danger to themselves or others, you need to seek emergency help immediately. Mm-hmm. And always remain calm and non-confrontational. Avoid arguing, correcting, or challenging their beliefs directly.
Right.
Communication tips, use calm and clear language. Speak slowly and simply. Avoid complex and abstract explanations. This is not the time to explain the dopamine hypothesis of psychosis to the person. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying you're paranoid, just say, I see that you're feeling worried. I'm here to help you. Mm-hmm. Plain, simple language. Listen actively, remain eye contact, not, verbal affirmations like, I understand, I hear you. Let them express their feelings without interruption or judgment. Validate the feelings, but not the delusions. You acknowledge their emotions without affirming the false beliefs. You can say that really sounds very, very frightening. Mm-hmm. Instead of, but that is not real.
Okay.
Always offer reassurance and comfort. Be patient, be gentle. Acknowledge the experience and keep your body language open. The whole thing is to avoid overloading them, you know. And if you see that they really get fixated on a distressing hallucination or delusion, gently try to, you know, distract and redirect the attention to a neutral topic or mm-hmm. calming activity.
Okay. All right. And what are some common mistakes you think that caregivers should avoid or that they would commonly make?
Yeah, I think caregivers can unintentionally make certain mistakes during a psychotic episode. We must understand that this is really scary for the caregiver or the family as well. It is a very scary experience. Mm-hmm. So there's anxiety involved, and that's the reason why, you know, get to a place where you're calm, you know, get to a place where you feel grounded. And try to communicate without arguing or challenging the delusions. Very important, don't challenge the delusions. It is better to acknowledge their feelings and leave the challenging of the delusions and the hallucinations at a later stage for the professionals to deal with. Don't use confrontational or language. And this is very often very difficult because sometimes, you know, psychotic episodes coincide with drug use. And for instance, you know, a parent can experience great discomfort when child maybe overseas or, you know, in a different place, and get them to a place where they can get treated, and the child is aggressive and the child is you know, non-cooperational, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult not to get aggressive and to get confrontational. But yeah. The point here is to remember that aggression and confrontation is not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on what the goal is, and the goal is to get them in a safe environment where treatment is possible. Mm-hmm. So you know, try to avoid confrontation. And if you don't validate their feelings, you know, they're not going to trust and they're not going to cooperate. Also, you know, overloading with questions or information is just going to exacerbate their feelings of distress. Mm-hmm. So try not, you know, keep things simple. And it's often very difficult not to be overly forceful or restrictive. But remember that this can really escalate agitation or trauma. Mm-hmm. So try to use gentle redirection.
All right. And then I guess that leads us then to our final question for today, which is, how can families take care of themselves while supporting others? And this is really important. We also want to know, like, the realistic expectations for caregivers as we have this final conversation.
Yeah. Well, examples of self-care and self-care for families and loved ones are really essential. It helps prevent burnout. Mm-hmm. And we are very much familiar with the term caregiver burnout, which is something that we often deal with in the mental health environment. So to avoid this, it is important to take regular breaks and even longer breaks through the care of friends, family, or professional services. You know, it is important to get those. You know, you need to take care of your physical health maintenance yourself. You need to still engage in regular exercise. You need to still eat nutrition meals, you know, get adequate sleep. You know, you need to take care of yourself on a physical level. Mm-hmm. It's also important to seek emotional support and connection. You know, you should not, you know, avoid friends or family members. And when the feelings of stress and guilt and sadness become overwhelming, it's important to also seek counseling for yourself, or maybe get involved in support groups. Personal interest or hobbies that has been you've been active with prior to the crisis, it's really important to dedicate time and maintain those, because those activities bring joy and relaxation. Mm-hmm. It could be helpful to engage in mindfulness meditation, deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation. There's an enormous amount of apps that are available on phones right now. And that those are very, very useful. Just as you know, self-care, doing 5 to 10 minutes daily can help a lot. What is very important for me is to set boundaries and manage expectations. You have to learn to say no when caregiving demands become too much. Need to learn where your own limits are, and it's not a problem to say no when things do get too much. You know, you have to have realistic goals about what is manageable in terms of commitment of caregiving. Mm-hmm. Important to stay educated and empowered. Very important here, you know, I think it's important for caregivers to know the legal rights. There are a lot of legal frameworks that we already talked about. Family in South African law or have got the right to say that this person is unmanageable and need care even if the person is resistant. So know your legal frameworks, know what you can do, know when to respect confidentiality and where transgressions can be avoided, but also know your powers. And maintain your own health care routine. You know, keep up with your medical checkups, your dental appointments. It can be very demanding to take care of somebody. And very often we see that people, that they slack on their own health care. Mm-hmm. Engage in spiritual or religious practices that can be hugely beneficial to have comfort and to find comfort in a community that cares. It's important to know that self-care isn't selfish. It is a necessity. Mm. But that brings me to the whole issue of realistic expectations. It is really a situation that is unexpected, and realistic expectations about this very challenging situation can help you to navigate the situation with compassion, patience, and clarity. Mm-hmm. And some key points to consider is that you should take cognizance of the fact that adjustment takes time. Mm-hmm. It is going to take time for you and your loved one to settle into a new routine, to understand the diagnosis, to process the feelings, and to adapt to all these new routines. Be patient about it. Recovery and stabilization are often gradual, and setbacks can happen. Illness management is a journey. It's not a quick fix. Treatment plans require time. Medication, therapy, and other interventions may take weeks or months to show benefits. And one should expect fluctuations. Symptoms may improve, sometimes they can worsen, and very often there is fluctuation in symptoms. Mm. Also know that recovery is individual. There is no one-size-fits-all program with psychosis. Mm. Every person's experience of psychosis is very unique. Some may recover extremely well with treatment. Others may need ongoing support. Others may find that there's maybe a medication-resistant condition. So it is very different for each individual. And in here, you can focus on the strengths and the progress and celebrate the small improvements and milestones. Mm-hmm. Expect behavioral changes. Initial behaviors may be challenging. You know, symptoms like paranoia, hallucinations, disorganized thinkings, It really, your loved one feels like a stranger to you, and expect that. Patience and understanding are really key. You need to educate yourself and you need to know what to expect. It is really important to know that your emotional responses are normal. Feelings of shock, sadness, frustration, guilt are very common. It is important that you know this and don't hesitate to seek counseling or join support groups. Also, expect your own environment to change significantly. You may need to change very established routines that you yourself had to be in a supporting role for the person with psychosis. Mm-hmm. In this, acceptance of uncertainty, the acceptance of unpredictability is really crucial. You need to know that this is uncertain. The road, the journey is not paved with direction. It is very often a day-to-day flexibility that is essential to make people adapt to the circumstances. In this, you can focus on what you have control over. Mm-hmm. You can focus that you don't get ill yourself. You can prioritize self-care and boundaries, and you can protect your own well-being. And it's very also important to still maintain hope. Mm-hmm. Many people with psychosis live meaningful lives with proper treatment. Stay grounded. Be realistic about the challenges while you also recognize that there is potential for recovery. Mm. This is so important for people just to stay realistic and to have hope, but be grounded in this very, very difficult situation.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for giving us those realistic expectations. I suspect when we don't know what to expect and we start to set up our own hopes and our own expectations, I expect that that would probably also apply pressure, not just to the caregivers, but also to the person with psychosis as well, to start feeling that pressure, like, okay, I have to, you know, reach certain milestones by a certain time. And this is, you know, we have this expectation of a straight line of recovery. And if we don't, you know, if we don't manage those expectations, it can be very challenging, I suspect.
Definitely. And I think, you know, for certain personalities, it's more difficult to deal with uncertainty. Mm. Certain personalities are very closure-driven, very routine-driven, very planned and organization-driven. And it can, for certain types of personality, be very difficult to deal with this life-changing event. Yeah. So it's also important, you know, to know yourself and know what you're going to have difficulty with. You know, and if you are a very planned, organized individual, maybe you, as a caregiver, can focus on providing the routine that the person needs. Mm-hmm. And a person in the family that are more flexible in their approach, more adjustable, more adaptable, can then get involved when crises are occurring. Right. So it's really good if there are more than one person in the caregiver role, because, you know, our personalities deal different with different aspects of caregiving.
Yeah. Very important. Thank you so much, Hanley, for coming through. God bless you, and look forward to connecting with you again on Friday.
See you on Friday. Take care, Bongi. Bye-bye.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.